Morning, everyone. Call the meeting to order at 10:04 a.m. No particular order. Roll call. Doug Delina. Paul Hinch. Doug, I will, for the record.
Yes,
Doug,
here. Sorry. The too much, too little real estate on my screen to find that mute button.
Okay, Paul Hinch is here. John Johnson.
Yep.
Tom Patton.
Here.
Paul Whitescarver. Paul.
Here.
I didn't know what this is. For the audio in case. And Felix Reyes is not present. So with quorum, we'll move on to the approval of the January 16th committee meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve?
So
moved by John, second by Paul. Any comments, discussion, or requested changes? All right, hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Approved unanimously. Moving on to public comment. There are no members of the public here. There are no members of the public online. So we'll move on to item four, ship project update.
Okay.
Ulysses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the last meeting, several members asked if, in fact, they asked an update with respect to the ship project. They asked about a couple of programs in terms of its status. So we have also a matrix here regarding the status of those projects. But the ship program, the harbor improvement projects, they include the preparation of plans, construction for the alteration and improvement of various state municipal facilities and other properties that are adjacent to the borders of the state. The first ship project was implemented in 2017. And the second was awarded by the Bond Commission in April of 2021, the third just last year in April of 2023. The cost share for various aspects of this program, depending on the type of activity, would be, let's say, 50% cost share for harbor management plans and studies when it comes to boat ramp facilities and studies and design, 100% funded. Repairs, marina repairs, 20% cost share, and dredging, 20% as well. You also have...
This is just a quick question about that, and I don't recall this. You've got the asterisk here on the marina repairs.
Yes.
Is that the only project type for which design and permitting can substitute?
That is right.
Okay, so for the other three, well...
But the other
one of them doesn't have to match, but for harbor management plans and dredging, they have to provide
that. That is right. So, and on the next page, you have in front of you the basics of all of the projects that have been awarded. As I indicated, Ship 3 was awarded last year in April. Those awards have all now been submitted to the municipalities. Several of these projects, and all of these projects now, with respect to Ship 2 and 3, they are reimbursement, on a reimbursement basis. Ship 1 was a grant, outright grant, but ships 2 and 3 are reimbursable. So as they are finished and completed, we reimburse the CPA then reimburses the municipalities for the progress they're making in those projects.
So Ship 1 does not show up here because we funded them right off the bat, but
that's right.
Do we have a tracking of their expenditure?
Yes, absolutely. Fay tracks all ship projects. So we have a listing of all an accounting of all the projects.
But
not on Ship 1.
Right, because we don't know. They received the money up
they
front.
They received the money up front.
But we don't know where they are in their process and whether or not
there's one in particular that also had to reimburse us because they went beyond what they were allotted as well. And And so from a monitoring standpoint, we just monitor those. These, I mean, for shift two and three, those are all on a reimbursement basis.
Except for the town of Groton in phase one?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And so we have with you a listing of the grant awards, the balance, and the status of each project.
So Ulysses, is New London subject to any funding by us for like the harbor management plan?
No,
that's what I thought.
No,
it wasn't excluded.
That's right.
So, if I'm not mistaken, the way the statute was written, right, because New London is considered one of the three deepwater ports, they're not eligible for ship.
For any state funding.
Yeah.
Most correct.
Which I can argue a negative thing.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, like Pier 7 or the fishermen down here, you know, just because they're in New London, they can't apply for ship, which is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it because they can get federal funds instead that others can't, or?
No, it's because we have a separate category of bond authorization for the deep water, but we never have and probably never would use that bond authorization for small projects because it's tied up with dredge match and
yep.
state pier. So it does create this kind of gap where there are smaller projects within any one of those three big cities that are
kind of ineligible.
Yeah, like the harbor management plan. I don't know whether New London ever got a harbor management plan done. Does anybody know? When I sat on that commission, we were fine, but I don't think it ever got done.
And they wouldn't be eligible for sure.
No, like that's no.
Exactly. They're talking about a harbor management plan right now that is conducting
one. So.
Yeah. That's fine. That's under discussion.
We've just been going on 4 or 5 years.
That's Pier 7. I want to point out Pier 7 is owned by the state. That's another, that's an anomaly in New London. Pier 7 is owned by
the state. So, like State Pier?
Yes, just like State Pier. That's right.
State Pier Club?
Now, I might also add that we're going to be asking the board for approval to initiate ship four this quarter. So we would like to be able to start ship four, get the applications out to all of the towns and municipalities and harbor commissions this quarter, so that we can actually go to the bond commission this year for another round of funding for it.
So everybody who applies for funding, do they get accepted, or do you screen them?
Okay. There's a screening. That's right. There's a screening process that takes place, and usually members of our board on this. Matter of fact, you participated in the last. Yeah. You were a member of the last screening and selection committee, and we're hoping you will agree this year as well. But there is a screening and selection committee that reviews all applications and then we go to the bond commission, usually in about August.
Any thought of changing the statute for this, you know, to allow stuff in deep water ports? Is that something we as the Port Authority would want to pursue?
It's honestly not something that we've
thought about
or talked about, but there's no reason why we couldn't pursue that.
We are getting inquiries to that in that regard.
Well, the reason why I bring it up, you know, on the other side of the things, there are plenty of, there are not a lot, but there are a couple of pieces of property that could benefit from a small harbor improvement type grant.
Well, so that's actually an interesting question. If something is on the Deepwater Harbor, but on the Groton side, they should be able to get it, right?
I don't know.
It's probably a little bit vague.
Yeah.
Groton's never asked for something that's
part of that.
Right. They have gotten. Yeah. They have gotten. Yeah. They have gotten.
But
that's my point.
The, The one that they have, like the town garage, is for a dock at the submarine force museum.
Yeah.
Right. So it's up the river. It's not really
in the harbor.
In the harbor.
In the deep water.
Oh, I see. Just,
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think the easiest way to do it would be to say, you know, if it's not on a state-owned facility or dredging, harbor dredging, then it's eligible.
Okay.
Doesn't answer the Pier 7 question, right? But it would at least open it up for smaller municipal projects.
Historically, the other side of the thing used to be all shipbuilding. And it kind of shifted, and now there's a lot of properties over there that are not being used that could be, like, say, for offshore wind support vessels, if there were a means for providing funds to develop them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Might be too late this session.
Yeah, but something about
for next year. For next year.
Yeah. Well, that was. That concludes our report on SHIP. Just wanted to update you, thank friends, of where we are on SHIP. And to the extent you need additional information on this, please let me know.
Hey, could I? This one's a personal one since it's the town of Groton and the Thames River Heritage Park dock that's going in. Can I get with you and see what the town is drawing on? It's the first tranche of money. And it says in here they're down to $516,000. Curious with what the town is. I've been trying to get this docking since they got the grant. It's been forever.
Mm-hmm.
Just the historical part of it for everybody in the room, right? So they got the grant. Then we had to figure out how they could donate it to the Navy. So then we, so now it's a gift to the Navy. Then we had to have all the designs done, and then the contractors came back, and then they had to work with the Navy. So it's drawn out for so long that the original amount of $730,000, I'm always in fear that when it's all done, it's going to be more than $730,000. You know, Mark doesn't have such funds.
Right.
Probably about 20% too.
Yeah.
Jesus,
20%. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on SHIP? Okay. Moving to financial update. Okay.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Starting with the statement of revenue and expenditure for the period ended January 31st, 2024. General operations revenue amounting to $2.7 million. Changes for the period, pilotage were main changes. Accessible revenue for State Fair Gateway received the second quarter for July to December, amounting to $434,655. You'll see a breakdown of page 8. That's what makes up the 815. So we have 380,000 for the first quarter and then 434,000 for the second quarter. And for NEO, interest income NEO lease, along with the amortization of the third employee resources, we received the third quarter 500,000 for January to March 2024. So that 205,000 and 1.2 million will total 1.5 million. Moving on to expenditure for general operations, your salaries and benefits 349,000, contractual services 284,000, marketing and business development 350, administrative and general expenses 53,000 and other 353,000 or 352,000, totaling 1 million. Revenue less expenditure 1.7 million. Depreciation for the 7 months ending January 31st, 24, 2.7 million, bringing the change in net position for general operations So I think it's in 1 million. Non-operating revenue, capital contribution state, 102,000. Capital contribution partner, 23.7 million. And interest income CT funded, 228,000, totaling 224 million. An expenditure, which is the interest expense for the Seabrook Junction lease, is 2,000. As indicated prior, the interest expense on the NECR lease will be incorporated in April. Change in net position for net operating, 24 million, and total change in net position, 23 million. Any questions on the statement of revenue and expenditure? Moving on to pages 5 and 6. These are breakdowns for the composition of the revenue and expenditure. Any questions on pages 5 and 6? Moving on to page 7, balance sheet as of January 31st, 2024. Current assets, cash and cash equivalents. This represents general operations, which is 3 million. Restricted cash, which is your Webster funds, 36.8 million.
Okay, sorry, just back to page 6 for just 1 second. So, just remind me, so we pay the NECR lease out of escrow, but we have to amortize that value on our operating account because it's a lease.
Because it's a lease, and only that's the 60s. Can you give me the red fancy numbers? That'd be 67.
Yeah.
Based on the accounting principles. So always paid out of the escrow funds, which does not deal with the accounting concept.
Right.
Because that's like treating it as the bank account.
Yeah.
But following it as an asset, which will be the property.
Yeah.
And then as a liability, which will be the
Right, it's back to the same lease as liability.
Lease as liability, as a loan, as if we took a loan to purchase the asset.
Yes.
Which we are occupying.
Right. So that's just because of another, like depreciation, that's another line that is not actually cash expenditure out of our operating.
Well, the interest and the principal portion would accumulate to a similar amount,
yeah,
but not equal to the exact. So it's different to the depreciation in the sense that depreciation is a total non-cash amount.
Yes.
Whereas the amortized amount is like an interest expense which will be paid.
Yeah.
So it may not look back exact, but it is similar in value.
Yeah.
Dave, I have two questions or comments. I'm sure I asked this before, but and what's the $23,750,000 for the capital contribution?
That is the funds received from NEO. NEO's contribution.
That was the last, that was first that it came in.
Okay. So that came in under revenue for us. And then we spent it along the line.
Yes.
Correct.
And the other thing is, David, I just, the amount of money that we spent on marketing.
Yes,
by comparison to having a budget of 69, whatever it is, we got to do better in terms of spending in that particular line item.
So noted.
Thank you.
Totally agree.
Can't get our message out for $350.
That's true.
So we spent more on this past couple of months. That's not reflected to you yet, but you'll see it.
I think
that is reasonable. Yeah, we engaged Quinn and Harry a little more, so you'll start to see that reflected. As a matter of fact, that article we saw yesterday
was
really so well written, and they helped us with that as well. I wanted you to know that.
Yes.
And we spent money on that.
But yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
I think it was like 2 years ago or maybe last year, we got a grant to do some kind of study for dredging, or I remember Joe was, is that somewhere on here? But
that would show up in our core capital project account, yes, which is on page 10. 10. It's down at the bottom there.
Oh, the Long Island Sound Study?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have we got the sidetrack? Has it been done? What's the status?
No, I'm going to be giving the status report on that at the board today.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Anything, any other comments or questions prior to page 7?
Okay. All right. Moving back to GFOS, the effect of the market, 68,000. Receivables, deposits, and prepaid expenses, 443,000. And lease receivable current, 1.3 million. That's for the 12-month bank, the 3 quarters remaining. Non-current assets, lease receivable, non-current, 15 million. Capital assets, net of accumulated depreciation, 281 million. Right to use net assets, 4.4 million. This right to use net assets refers to the leases for Seabrook Junction and the NECR.
Remind me on the lease receivable for NEO. That is linked to their time of occupancy, and it's always the next 12 months. So
right. So what,
it's
what
not linked to the fiscal year.
Right. No.
Okay.
So it will be related to the 12-month period, or in this case, the four quarters.
Yeah.
And then anything in excess of the 12-month period will be non-current. You can't.
So that's always going to be the same.
It's
amount.
Always.
It's always going to.
Well,
be.
Well, no, because it's on the amortized scheme, it will change value. It will not always remain the same amount.
Sorry, I mean the current.
Oh yes, what you mean? When you say.
Up here, the 1.3.
No, but you said it will always be the same,
yeah,
value. For the quarter, yes. But once it changes quarter, it's different with NEO because NEO was a quarter,
yeah,
as opposed to months.
Yeah.
But once March changes,
yeah,
the amount will change. So for the
but
period January to March,
same.
For the period,
yeah,
January to March, it will remain the same. And once March changes, it will change because it was based on quarter.
Right.
So it will always remain the same amount for that quarter.
Right. But why? So when I take the interest with it,
mm-hmm,
that's 1.5, right? The 1.3.
When you take the interest with,
like, I'm trying to think what that actually equates to, right? Because there's no lease payment owed to us to the amount of 1.3 million because we account for it with the interest,
mm-hmm,
right? So
right,
with the interest in mind.
Oh, yes, it will be 1.5.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so that's 3 quarters of payments.
Yes.
But there's only 1 quarter left in the fiscal year. So the 3 quarters
refer to the 20
calendar year?
2025 calendar year.
Right.
Well, 2025 fiscal year.
Five
fiscal year, because we are in 2024 fiscal year. So it keeps rolling forward.
Yes.
So at the end of fiscal year 2024,
yes,
we would have that period that is receivable in fiscal 2025.
But we're almost at the end of fiscal 24.
Mm-hmm.
So why in this fiscal year,
mm-hmm,
would we have our current receivable be 3 quarters worth of payments?
But it should always be 4. four courses, so it's maybe more than that actually, but it will always be that 12 months period that is receivable.
It's always the next 12
months. It's always the next 12 months.
Regardless of where your fiscal year is.
Right.
You're always accounting for the next 12
months. So you're always, your current period is always that 12 months accumulated.
Right. Right. So unlike everything else in our reporting,
Unlike anything else.
Because everything else is on the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
But this one on your balance sheet.
No, the revenue and expenditure,
yes,
is 12 months period.
Yes.
Your balance sheet,
yes,
is which,
yes,
moves.
Yes.
So your revenue and expenditure covers strictly
the current fiscal year.
June,
yes.
July to June.
Yes.
Strictly July,
yes,
to June.
Okay.
Your balance sheet takes into account the current period, which is 12 months, and then that's the difference between your current and your non-current.
Yes.
Current.
Okay, so the current is the coming 12 months.
From what?
Regardless of where you are in the fiscal year.
Right. So even in terms of, well, we'll reach there, but I will jump to it a bit now. On page 8, for lease liability and lease receivable,
yeah,
number 9, number 10,
yeah,
where you see me show shift in current to non-current position. And then you have the balance as of it.
Yeah. So just for the sake of understanding,
mm-hmm,
when we are in the last year,
mm-hmm,
of our lease,
mm-hmm,
then over the course of that current amount on the balance sheet will go down to zero.
The non-current will go down to zero and everything will be current as of that speed. As of that,
right, period. But the current then will, mm-hmm, over the course of that last year, mm-hmm, will winnow down to nothing.
Yes.
So your balance sheet just always carries the next 12 months,
mm-hmm,
as current.
Yes.
And it's 12 calendar months, regardless of your current. It's always from your current.
Yes.
Okay.
And those amounts stay the same?
Well, it depends on what the nature of the asset or liability is. If it's an amortization amount or amortized amount, the amounts will vary. Because the interest portion or the principal portion will not be the same per month. In terms of the Saybrook lease, the Saybrook lease is a flat amount per month, so that will generally remain the same. But for the NECR lease or the new lease receivable, that will change.
What year in accounting did you learn that?
That what happens and why David may bring it up is, generally, some people may treat it based on the period,
yeah,
and not accumulate it, not move forward. So for the year, you will just see the current portion diminishing and the non-current portion remaining the same.
Reset each
and then
you
reset.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but that's not.
That's fine, but then the current portion is the 12 months from as of the date of reporting. So rather than move from zero at the end of June 30th, 2024, and then start all the next year with 1.3 million, you do the shift per month. Because even if you see the financial, the audited financial reports as of the end of June 30th, 2023, you would see where you would incorporate the current portion.
But the non-current will go down
That's
by a quarter of the amount every quarter.
Oh, I'm marking the amount based on
right. So the non-current, you're actually you're kind of drawing from the non-current,
yes.
And the current stays the same level.
It shifts.
Yeah.
So it shifts
from
non-current to current.
Yeah, every quarter or month, depending on. Yeah.
So I think we reached total assets of 342 million. Liabilities and net position, current liabilities 1.9. That includes a cumulative payable of 1.8, hence the large amount. Due to NEO, 310,000. That's the interest on the NEO Webster accounts. Due to State of Connecticut, 111,000. This is the excess on the payroll. Retainage payable, 8.3 million. Unearned revenue, 13,000. Lease liability, 356,000. Total current liabilities, 11 million.
The due to the state.
Mm-hmm.
Is that also always going to be relative to how much they have paid or owe us presently out of the 400? So like, that's not to say that we are going to, like, if the fiscal year ends, that's the right way to ask this. That's not to say that our expenditures on payroll are in excess of our core DOT contribution by that amount. It's to say that our current expenditure on payroll is in excess of our current amount received from CONDA by that amount, right?
Yes.
Right. It's a snapshot based on today.
Based on today.
Whereas their contributions may go up at a faster or slower rate than our payroll expenses. And so that amount could grow or it could shrink in terms of the end of the year. It's not necessarily an indicator of where we will be at the end of the fiscal year in terms of what we have to cut them a check for. It's just a snapshot of the delta today.
Agreed.
Okay.
Today.
Yeah.
So they have, based on this, a balance of 120,000 left.
Yes.
They, on their contributions, because they have we have received 280,000 of the 400,
right.
And payroll will accumulate for the period February to June.
Right. So their outstanding payments to us will basically wipe out our current excess,
mm-hmm.
But anything that we spend on payroll from now to the end of the fiscal year will be what we owe them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Non-current liabilities, lease liability long-term, 4 million. Deferred input resources, lease NEO, 16.6 million. Total liabilities, 31.8 million. Net assets, 310.6 million. Net position as of beginning of the period, 287.6. Change in net position, 23 million, which agrees with the change as of the end of page 4. And then net position as of the end of the period, 310.6 million. Any questions on page 7? Page 8. Notes accompanying page 7. Mainly on the leases and the capital assets. And also an assessment of the gateway revenue, which is number 8.
I want to make sure everyone understands note 8, because that's going to be increasingly important for us as we plan ahead. The first two columns are the first two quarters of Gateway's revenue for Steve Doring and Dockage and Wharfage. The next two columns are our share of that they owe to us, 7% of Steve Doring, 50% of Dockage and Wharfage.
those two lines on the bottom, the 418 and the 397, add up to the 815 that you see on page 4, and then the 41,815,845 is the amount that we have paid the City of New London with their first, first ever revenue share. And that will be starting this fiscal year, that would be significantly in excess of the minimums that they're entitled to.
Right. Remind me again what the minimum was?
It escalated. It started at 50 and then it escalated, I think this year. Oh, wait, the budget will be 50. Mm-hmm.
60, 750.
Yes. Yeah. Page 6, the last line in section 5. 68,750. So, yeah, they're on track.
Like 75,000, wasn't it?
I thought it was. No. So there's two separate lines. There was the impact fee,
right,
which Gateway paid us and we paid the city, which was 75 with an escalator.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the 10% share of assessable revenue, which was 50 with an escalator. And so that 75 with an escalator is
the one.
Yes, on page 4, you see that in the second line, 81,182.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a separate payment that we get from Gateway that we pass on.
We pass on 100%.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
100%. So our minimum guarantee to the city this year was 150, and it'll end up being probably 160. And then with Revolution, it'll be
right.
You know, significantly more than that.
Okay.
And we Faye,
that's newsworthy.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Faye, Ulysses, and I, we talked through just kind of the mechanics of that and agreed on the assessable piece. We would just pay them the 10% share quarterly, and if it happened to be under the minimum at the end of the fiscal year, we would pay it down.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. Which we don't think would be the case this year or probably any of the next several years, but that seemed to be an easier way to do it from an accounting
standpoint. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about timing and terms. What's the best timing for announcing something like this? But this is really significant, I can say. But when do we actually leave? When's going to be the best time for actually sharing this with the community? It's all very promising in terms of, so the growth is there. Growth is there for CPA and growth is here for the city as well.
Okay. So another nice benefit the city's getting is cleaning that fire line up, that water line for the pure.
Oh, yes.
Oh, huge expense it would have been for the city.
Oh, yes.
It's a huge expense for us.
Absolutely.
That's yeah, we have probably not, to your earlier point, done a good enough job of explaining to folks. You know, I think we've articulated the transformational aspects of the State Pier project and the additional upland storage and the heavy lift capacity, et cetera, et cetera. But the basic stuff, like the electrical, mm-hmm. the lighting, the drainage, the fire suppression,
mm-hmm.
none of which existed. Like literally just did not exist and was so outdated and inadequate relative to what a modern facility would require. And that stuff that no one will ever see, and no one will ever question the fact that, you know, when it rains really hard, it's all going to be filtered and treated before it empties out into the Sound. If there's ever an incident, there's brand new fire suppression, etc.
And we weren't getting a thing from Montreal, from the Canadian company.
That's not a thing.
Right, towards those places, no? Huh? All those operations, not at all.
So that's kind of... Just for ensure the professional, I mean, that's kind of normal for any kind of development, right? When you're doing this, nobody gets the...
For sure. Yeah, not to go too far off the tangent, but, you know, the big dig, right? Everyone, you know, there was all those talks about the prices when the big dig was going on and $15 billion or whatever escalating, but no one really talked about the fact that all of downtown Boston now had... new sewers,
yeah.
New telecom infrastructure, yeah. New water pipes, right? And all the growth that you're seeing now meant that any one of those individual apartment buildings or office buildings or institutional buildings didn't have to do that on their own because the infrastructure was in place. And that's the off.
Similar thing. It was just like for Norwich and putting in four roundabouts.
Mm-hmm.
New
yes.
Sewer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Good example.
Okay. I think we're on page 9.
Page 9, statements of cash flow. Cash from operating activities. Cash received with services 537,487. That mainly includes the gateway revenue along with the pilot commission, etc. State of Connecticut appropriations, $30,102,000. The $30 million that was declared on fiscal year 2023 was received in this fiscal period. Our development revenue yield, $23.7 million. Less cash payments for customers, $550,000. Net cash from operating activities, $53 million. Cash flow from capital and related financing activities. Acquisition of capital assets, $86.7 million. Four project payments, $41,000. That's related to PS7. Interest received on new lease, $205,000. Along with the payment received for the new lease, $1.2 million. Totaling the $1.5 million, that's the new lease, two payments. Cash flow from investing activities, interest on investments on the Webster CT, $233,000. Interest on investment, new Webster, $221,000. Net cash flow from investing activities, $455,000. Net change in cash equivalents, and restricted cash, $18.9 million. Cash and cash equivalents brought forward, $20.8 million. Total cash and cash equivalents as of January 31st, $39.8 million, which comprises of the general operations of $3 million and restricted cash was still $36.8 million, which is $39.8 million as well. Questions on page 9. Moving on to page 10, analysis of project balances as to four. This states all outstanding projects, the amounts that were granted, expenditure to date, and available funds to date.
Main change here would probably be the DOT properties, right? Since our last meeting, we transferred the funds to New Haven.
The Stanford, $41.2 million, as well as $122,000 for Stanford.
Okay.
Hey, Faye, going back to the cash flow. So that means we've kind of cash flowed from operations about $1.5 million. Is that right? From our kind of standard operations. Hold on. I can answer my own question. Hold on. Let me just go back to the balance sheet. Yeah, okay. Yep, never mind. Got it.
Okay. I'm glad to have helped.
Yeah. Thank you. That was very helpful.
I mean, what's that page?
Oh, yeah, you're on page 11. There's another one. There's no changes on page 11. There haven't been any contractual changes or notice to proceed to QIP since our last meeting, or since last summer. Okay, questions on anything in the financial updates?
That's a good report, Faye.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And it's starting to get a little bit more familiar, right? We've had the same comprehensive report for a few months now. Great. Okay, moving on to item six, the annual financial report. Faye or Ulysses, which one is going to walk us?
So I'm just going to enter an introduction. We have a report for you. This is an annual report that you're required to provide along with a number of the other compliance reports to the governor, to the legislative offices as well. It is a compilation of all of our projects, our contracts, financial reports, for FY 2023. So it's pretty comprehensive.
How long does it take you to put that report together, Church?
Is
that a cumulative over the year, or do you start from?
Well, we're fortunate to actually have had FY 2022. So we build from the 22, and we're able to actually update to 2023. So each year we're updating and we're adding also additional financial reports because this year, of course, we had an independent audit. So that independent audit is also part of this report as well.
Ulysses, did you actually write that? I mean, who actually put the words together? It's very well written.
Yes, no, thank you.
Yeah.
No, that's part of what we do.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
I just want to go on page 4 in the list of firms receiving more than 5,000 out of the HDA. What would be the payment to Leo for 791?
That will be for the multi-technicals.
Got it. That is the engineer of record, Moffat Nichol, gets paid from escrow to NEO to them, because the contract is held with them too. And this is for this last fiscal
year.
Okay. So this is just great. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I had one just on the future projects. We say that Sunrise Wind is still anticipated. What's the status of that?
Where are you now?
Sunrise. So it has been, Sunrise was rebid by Ørsted and Eversource into the current New York auction, or not auction, RFP, which they are supposed to announce this month, though my understanding is that Ørsted has not made a definitive statement that if it's not reselected, that they wouldn't go forward. But I think their hope is that it is reselected by New York with modified terms.
Okay. So we still have a reasonable expectation that they'll go forward.
Yes.
Yes, I'm saying, and staged out of none.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So if it doesn't go forward, what's the impact?
The impact is we're shopping for subleasers earlier. You know, right now there's an expected gap between Sunrise and you know, whatever comes next. So we're trying to fill that time period in 2027, 2028.
And so I assume the party that's trying to fill the gap is Gateway.
So first, it's Ørsted. We'll try to fill it with other wind developers.
Because they're still committed.
Which we're supported. And everyone recognizes, you know, the facility is better utilized with wind, and we all get more revenue with wind.
Yep.
And so there'll come a time, if there remains a gap for which there is no wind developer that has been secured, then Gateway is given a window of time to market it for other cargo. But with all the RFPs going on right now, you know, the New York selection is supposed to be made this month. Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Massachusetts are due the end of March. Mm-hmm. So there is a very reasonable expectation that there will be more projects than there are port facilities. And we are best positioned in the Northeast in that situation.
And we will be conducting tours also of developers.
There's a process going on right now in terms of information sharing and solicitation related to the developers who are participating in the Southern New England bids to make sure that they understand the facility and its opportunities and its windows of availability.
And we're going to finish up the pier in March or something like that.
Yeah.
Second quarter.
Yes. We'll be done. And we'll be turning over 100% of the operation over to Gateway and developers.
And components. Do we have an interview? What's your interaction with Gateway at this point? Is that daily?
Daily. Oh, yeah.
Daily. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Hour by hour. Oh, yeah.
So very,
absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, really, you know, we continue to work very closely with NEO, obviously, but there'll come a point in time where our interactions with the developers, NEO or whoever is subleasing, diminishes,
right?
And our interaction with Gateway is kind of the primary.
And one of the reasons, John, I should add, and I should clarify, stating one of the reasons that it's hourly is because right now we are simultaneously accommodating, if you will, operations and construction at the same time. Okay, and so there's a dance that takes place, there's a collaboration takes place in order for the schedules of both the demands on scheduling for both that are being addressed. So we are now basically simultaneously in contact with one another about the availability of different spaces in order to get things accomplished either on the operations side in time for NEO or from a construction standpoint.
So I think we all recognize, I hope we do, that one role is difficult enough to have two roles.
There you are. Yes, it's all happening simultaneously. Yes, which is great. And the cooperation
is great.
The cooperation has been just fantastic.
It really is.
Yeah.
It has been an excellent partner throughout this process.
Yes, they have been great. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta remember, and we constantly have to remind some folks, like, you know, they were hired to operate the pier, and then after commencing that task, after about 9 months, we said, and now put it all on pause while we rebuild this thing and rely on you to, you know, play a role throughout that process without any revenue coming in, and then start back up once the pier is ready. And by the way, start back up before it's even fully ready. and they've really been
All right, aren't they part of NEO though? Aren't they part of the group? Or they're separate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they technically brought in NEO as an option response to the original concession offer, but everything is a tri-party agreement.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on the annual report? Do we need to make a motion?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to recommend that the full board approve and submit the FY23 report.
I'll make a motion.
Moved by John, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Finch. Any questions, comments, or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
It goes without saying there's a fabulous report. Absolutely.
Any old business? Any new business? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second, my meeting adjourned. 11 o'clock on the dot. Great. Thanks, everyone. And see you in an hour.
Thank you.